The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, remembering what God has done for us.
Your clothing did not wear out on you. That means that they came out of the wilderness in the same outfit they went in with. I'd be willing, but I'm glad I don't have to. Amen.
Don't forget to remember next on Life Today.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life Today. It's Wednesdays with Beth. I always look forward to this time of the week. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
And she is talking about something that the Bible repeats over and over from cover to cover. So obviously, it must be very important. Remember. Remember, remember. I think, really, when you stop and think about it and you look at what's going on in our nation, it's like we have forgotten. We have forgotten the birth of this nation. We have forgotten the foundational principles. We have forgotten the importance, oftentimes, of relationship and family and first things first. And we need to go back and remember the blessings that come from getting the priorities in order. Well, Beth wants us to understand the importance of remembering, and I think you're going to understand why it's so important as you listen to Beth. Here she is.
With me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Oh, I was going to tell you something. If you're just tuning in, I was telling a story about how I love women of all shapes, sizes, and all these looks. But what I forgot to tell you, it's so funny because when I write down my makeup artist's name, her name is Faith. And so sometimes it gets lost in my notes because I think it's reminding me to talk about Faith. Well, this is a faith that is a person and not a thing, although she is a person who does the thing. But she told me something, and I want just somebody blessed and edified. You know when I said I just love women, she said to me, she didn't even know I'd had that conversation in the car coming up. And she said to me, I love women's faces. I love women's faces, because that's what she does all the time. She said, Beth, she said, I just want to take them in my hands like this. She said, I never see a woman that I do not think is That is powerful, isn't it? That's just, she sees with the eyes of Jesus. And all of you, my brothers, if you are in Christ, you radiate with Him and you are a work of art. Now, I'm going to read to you all of Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's 19 verses, and I kept trying to think how I could cut it back and zero it in, and I can't do it. Not for the theme that we have going today, so we're just going to have to let it be what it is, and you're going to have to just hang with it. So whatever you may be doing, try to hang with the reading if you can. Now, my grandson, Jackson, who is 6, is an extremely active person. Now, I don't know who he takes after, but he's just very enthusiastic about a lot of things. And he, it is hard for him to sit still. And this has been his first year. You know, kindergarten, back in my kids' day, used to be a half day affair. Now they just go, it just goes on and on and on and on. These little bitty things are there all day long until 3 o'clock. And it's just mind blowing to me. Amanda told me, we were walking out from our church service on Sunday, and we were watching him walk, because when he sat a long time, he walks to the car. Now, the camera's going to need to get my legs on this, because there's a lot of action that goes on with the legs, yes. And so she said, Mother, she walks to get him every single day. Rain, sleet, snow, whatever it happens to be, she walks to get him with Annabeth every single day to bring him home. And she says, all the way home, he jerks a limb. All the way home. She said she just has him in front of her so that she can just enjoy the ride. So if at any point I'm reading that you just kind of need to do it, you just go right ahead and we're gonna get it done. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way. Somebody say the whole way.
The whole way.
And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you. That means that they came out of the wilderness in the same outfit they went in with. I don't know. I'd be willing, but oh, I'm glad I don't have to. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad. It says, your clothing did not wear out on you and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Okay, this has nothing to do with our lesson, but I love a little bit of Bible untrivia. When it says, your feet did not swell, that word swell in the Hebrew also translates dough, as in bread dough. And so if any of you who have taken a baby full term know what that looks like. Where you look down at your feet and think, whose feet are those? I have never seen those in my entire, I have no idea whose feet those belong to. So even they, those women went full term and their feet did not swell. And it says in verse 5, you're going, woman, we got to verse 19, get with it. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God, this is going to be a little bit important to us in a moment. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Now, when I tell them to repeat something, I want you to too. The more you participate, the more you're going to get out of this on Wednesday. So answer back when I invite you to. Somebody say, a good land.
A good land.
Look at one another and say, he's bringing you into a good land. And it says, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills. This will be important. Verse 8, kind of let it ring in your head. We'll be back to it. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of, you can almost hear him going, who saved your scrawny neck, amen? Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Verse 17, beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my own hand have gained me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. I want to pause just long enough to tell you, from a New Testament point of view, in the Old Testament, much of the word wealth was about wealth. For us, we have spiritual wealth. That is what we are promised. Riches in Christ Jesus. So the covenantal promises are a little bit different. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. He can bless us physically. He can do whatever he wants if he can be glorified, if he can do it to the good of man and to the glory of his own name. He can do anything he wants. But I'm saying the promise for us is spiritual wealth. Our wealth in Christ, every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1 would be a place that you would want to look into that. So keep that in mind because we can misuse that wealth as well, and that will be huge to us. 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It says, and if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the Lord your God. Let me read that again in verse 20. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, take a little perusal down that chapter just for a moment. I just want you to let your eyes jump. And for those of you who are watching, I'm going to let it jump to you while I say it. But you see in verse 2, it says, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord has led you. Then verse 11, if you like to put stars out by your Bible, you might star these places or highlight it on your iPad. Verse 2, you shall remember. Everybody say, you shall remember.
You shall remember.
Then verse 11 says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God. Say, don't forget. This is all in one chapter, lest when you have eaten and are full and built good houses and live in them, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Going down to verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God. And then go to verse 19, and if you forget the Lord your God, I solemnly warn you today that you will surely perish. I want you to look back verse 2, because this is going to be exactly where we're going to settle for this present series when it says, and you shall remember. I want to tell you today that spiritually speaking, amnesia can kill you. It can flat out murder you. All it takes for us to perish for all practical purposes in our calling, in what God has placed before us as a destiny before the foundation of the world was put into place by His voice. Everything we were meant to be about, honestly, can flat out perish if we forget what the Lord our God has done and is doing for us. Lest we forget. I love the wording in verse 11 because it says this. It says this in the version I'm reading from. It says in verse 11, take care, take care. You know how often we say to one another, well, take care of yourself. Well, okay, have a great day. Take care. Be sure and take care. Everybody say, take care.
Take care.
We say it over and over again. Wouldn't it be something? I mean, it would be almost revolutionary to us if those two words became to us when somebody said them. They're just saying the thing that we always say. Now, take care. They sign a letter, take care. Sign an email, take care of yourself. Be sure you take care of yourself. If we begin to associate it with this chapter, because to take care of ourselves would be not to forget. You really want to take good care of yourself? Do not forget what the Lord your God has done for you. Lest you forget. Because spiritually speaking, amnesia can kill you. It is deadly. It kills ministries because people forget. They forget. He said to Saul, when you were small in your own eyes, I could powerfully use you. But now you think you're a big shot. And you know what? I'm obviously paraphrasing. And now I'm going to set you to the side because you forgot. You got spiritual amnesia and it's going to kill you. It kills churches. When churches forget their heritage of faith, it kills it. I mean, it still may exist, but I mean, the cloudy pillar of God's glory may have moved on. The anointing may have left years ago, but they're so talented that it just keeps going on. Who noticed that he was gone? Who noticed? They forgot. It kills passion. When we just get like routine and rote in our faith, we've let ourselves forget where we've been with God, what He's done for us. It kills effectiveness. It kills. The line between taking for granted and taking the credit becomes almost indiscernible. About the time you realize that you've begun to take God for granted, it's not near as big a deal as it was. I've lived on since then, grown up, oh, that's a different me. Praise God it is. But I get to tell the story of the different me. That's part of my testimony. I'm protected. The enemy is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And when I start taking him for granted, and the whole thing for granted, my deliverance, the past work God's done, then taking credit comes right in on top of it. And you don't know the exact moment it crosses over. You just don't know. But I tell you, by the time you realize you're taking God for granted, you probably are also have taken some ownership over the credit. Well, here's what I did. And, you know, I just was stronger than some people that I know that just won't do it. And so by the time you're taking him for granted, you're probably also beginning to take his credit, and that's called taking his glory. And I wrote down an instruction of 4 words if that happens: stop, drop, and roll. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When do you realize? Because, girlfriend, there is pain coming. Guy friend, you start taking his credit, and that means you're taking his glory. That's another word for taking his glory. And you start doing that, and listen, he's going to come for you. And I don't mean that he doesn't come in love, but I'm just going to say he's not going to let you have his glory. No, he's not. He's just not going to.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Oh boy, don't forget, let me just say again how much we appreciate the love, the prayers, the support that you have really extended to God in our behalf. Betty, I feel like that love really has lifted us during this trying time. And you have been the arms of love and prayer. And we do thank you. And we don't forget it. And we don't forget the grace of God, nor do we forget the testimony of the consistent life of our own daughter, Robin. Thank you for letting us know that what we've shared about her has blessed you. And we remember the grace of God and also the witness. This is, and I really would like for you to just kind of focus on what I'm saying. This is the last week right now for Water for Life Emphasis. Our goal this year is 500 wells. And we come to you and we ask you to help. A couple of times a year, we'll come with various, like feeding. We'll emphasize the feeding outreach to nearly 500,000 children that depend upon us twice a year. And this is the last week now in this emphasis of Water for Life. There are so many so close, not only to finding what they need, but I think there's so many like yourself who are so close to saying, you know, I'm going to give a well, or I'm going to give a portion of the well. I'm definitely going to do something. And this last week now, I want you to listen closely. And I pray you'll not be almost persuaded, but fully persuaded to do what God puts on your heart.
This is Dauphine. She lives in Madagascar and doesn't have access to clean water. Last year, a stay-at-home mom in Texas almost picked up the phone to help support a new water well in Dauphine's village. This is Rosa. She lives in a tiny village in Central America. Rosa and her children drink water that looks like this. A couple of months ago, a small business owner in the Midwest almost mailed in a check to drill a clean water well near Rosa's house. This is Vaughn. He's from Cambodia, and he's watched his grandchildren suffer from the effects of a waterborne illness. Last week, a Sunday school class in a large church talked about doing a fundraiser to help ease the pain in Vaughn's family. Dauphine's son almost made it to his 5th birthday. Rosa's baby almost made it through the night. Vaughn's grandchild was almost well enough to leave the clinic. We can do better than almost. Clean water changes everything.
Yes, it does. Father, Betty and I join our hearts right now with missionaries, and I think mothers, family members, asking you to give them what they need so desperately, fresh, clean water, in Jesus' name. I don't think you're going to sit here and watch this program, and I want to just thank you for not only watching the part that I think brightened your day because you could smile, you could rejoice at what you heard, the truth and the things that gave you peace and direction. But I think that you're really wondering, can I make a difference in someone's life? Betty, there's not a person watching that can't give a cup of water. You know, $48 gives 10 people water for the rest of their lives. Everyone can do something.
All of us can do something. You know, I think about it. Our bodies can't survive at all without water. And yet, the water that these precious people, these children, are drinking is slowly taking their life because it's so contaminated, so diseased. Let's make a difference in their lives. Let's give them life by drilling water wells and giving them fresh, pure water and a chance in life. Please join with us. We can all do it.
Yeah, it's really sad that as you watch people, you know, going to get the water, like Betty says, they have to have it. And they go to get life, and they get disease, and oftentimes a very slow, painful progression toward death. In other words, what they go to get life, it ends their life because it's not suitable to drink. Not really suitable for animals, and they're in there waiting and defecating in it. Just filthy. We can solve it. We cannot immediately give clean water to the whole world. We have to do it like Jesus said, basically one cup at a time, one expression of love at a time, one person expressing the love of God. I know you want to help. I'm praying that you'll simply do what you can. We do ask you if you can possibly do it during this last week that we're asking you to help in this Water for Life emphasis, that if you can, you'll give an entire well. That's $4,800. Now, that's just in these remote village areas where we can access it. If you went into a great big population center of 50 or 100,000 people, there's no way you could provide it for that. What we're doing is where the missionaries are hands-on working with the precious people in those third world, impoverished countries. They begin to tell them about God's love, and they know, they see the greatest need is water, and we can do it. It's something a couple can do or individual can do. Even children are doing it. You can drill a well. We're going to send you the beautiful commemorative bronze, Robert Summers, the world's greatest sculptor. This is the 50-year anniversary bronze. It's a special edition. We want to bless you. We never give you something trying to get you to give something. We give to you because just as we're giving water to them to bless them, we're giving to you to bless you. So I hope you'll ask for the bronze, and if you can drill a well, do it. But if you can give $48 or $144, you'll give 10 people or 30 people water the rest of their life. So there's a level at which you can participate. Would you dial the number, take your bank card, and use it like it's a check? That's how you use them. Or you can go online, lifetoday.org, and say, here's my gift. If you do write a check, make it to Life, but call the number, and be persistent until you get through, tell us you put it in the mail. Because we have to let those who are drilling the wells and working along with the missionaries, we have to let them know water's coming to your area. Do what you can today. This last week, it's important we hear from you. Please make that call.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Majesty, an inspirational new fully illustrated book that will help you discover the promises behind the many names of God. With your gift of $100 or more, be sure to also request the Names of God pen set, custom crafted with the various names of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
As you remember, this is the last week now for the emphasis, and there is the Living Water limited edition Robert Summers bronze, 50-year celebration of the blessings of God on not only the ministry, but on our marriage. Thank you, honey. I love you. Please, if you can give $1,200 and pray three join you, or 24 and pray someone does, or the entire well, ask for the limited edition bronze, and you'll also be getting the other material that'll be inspirational and a blessing to you. Thank you so much for helping us all the time, but also remembering this is the last week. Water for Life. Thank you.
Tomorrow, comedian Tim Conway.
Are you able to be serious?
I don't think so.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.